Lugasville toward what God wants us to do in the situation of the church today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 28. Let's read. Then came there two men that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned about her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the Lord, and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Lord, we come before in the name of Jesus. We ask the Lord to bless this day, that your word that you sent to us for a purpose, written for a concern in the life of your church, even today. This message is valid to us. We pray, O God. I pray for a noble heart, honest and noble hearts, that this word of yours shall fall to bear and bring fruit in the name of Jesus, even not only here, but in other places where your word will be reaching. I pray for fruit. O Lord, I pray, O God, that the purpose of sending this message, what is in your heart, shall be accomplished. I pray for a deep repentance, deep understanding of your will, wakefulness and watchfulness for your church, and willingness above all to do what is exactly in your heart to do. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. This is our prayer in this name. Amen. Through life, certain time, it drives us to face difficult issues that we really need to take a decision about it. As we have here read, when King Solomon was baffled with such a case, that two women, they came to him, and the issue is, one child is dead, the other child is alive, and one mother, she said, that's my child, and the other woman, she said, that's also my child. The issue here, how we can find who is the mother? And that was the issue that was brought before King Solomon, and what that is possibly at the beginning of her ruling reign, and finally, as he was led by the wisdom of God, he found out who is the real mother of the child. And the problem that was raised was solved. Now, if we go down and read verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. When all the people hear about the story and how it was solved in such a marvelous way, everyone, when they hear it, they fear the king. And I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the one who writes First Kings, is really, as in all the Bible, as we know, are moved by the Holy Spirit to write what God wants to say. Now I just want to pick up this statement to say, and they fear the king. Now I want to ask one question before we go forward in this series. Do the people who hear the story and what had happened and who they fear the king, do they fear God? That's the first question. The second question, do the king himself, who was moved by the wisdom of God and give the right judgment and the people fear him, do King Solomon himself fear God? Now these two questions, you can answer them either by yes, and you should have reason, or no, and you should also have the reason, or you can say, I really don't know. These questions are a beginning of thinking about what is the truth and what is the will of God from the situation that was there at this time. And if we analyze it, we will analyze what is the truth even this for us today and what is the will of God in our life. Now, we will go back to verse 16, the first verse that we have read. When it says, then came there two women that were harlots. He described the woman as harlots. But when we read the whole chapter at the end, even next chapter before that, we never hear that somebody or the society who had here, they discuss it or get upset about the sin of harlot or the sin of prostitution. Now these two women, they were part of the kingdom of God. They are part of the church. And sure, in the court of King Solomon, he is not only there, he is not only the only person, but there are a lot of advisor, counselor, body of priests and Levites. And sure, those who hear also, they hear that the two women are harlots. But no one has spoke anything about that sin, either that was not there, not concern or something not important. Now my question here will go back. Are the people who fear the king, they fear God when they hear about what King Solomon decided to do? Harlot inside the church of God and the highest level of authority has nothing to do with the sin of prostitution or adultery or being harlot. Not only that. These two men, when they came to their case to be presented to the king, can we say that they are ashamed of their job description being harlot? Are they ashamed? Not at all. Are they afraid that being questioned why you are harlot? Not at all. You know why? Because the sin already was accepted by the society. It was tolerated. And I believe, not only this, I believe they are not aware what they are doing with sin. And that was going on in their church even today. Immorality becomes something, is not a sin, it's a lifestyle. And that's where here the breaking of the heart. Number three. The first 2 points I discussed. The third point. If you read in verse 17, they say, and the one woman said, Oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. That house, where is that house location? Inside the kingdom of God or outside? Inside part of the kingdom that God had put under the hand of Solomon. They were inside and they were living in one house, and both of them, they are harlot. Who is the owner of the house? Why he allow harlot in his house? Or that is some public property and everyone agree about it, that those who are pregnant without marriage, yeah? We can, I mean, sin it is tolerated, sin accepted, and we want to accommodate it. And they offer them house to live and a way that they get delivered, and no need to question more about it. Have this come in your mind? If you are at the time of Solomon and hear that story, what are you going to do? Put this question also in your mind. Think about it. The fourth aspect of what we have read. When the King Solomon hears the story, his concern is, who is the mother? How about who is the father? From where this woman get the relationship? Who is the man who did it? Why he did not ask about where is the father? Why no one is concerned where is the it is sin or no? Are they concerned to remove sin from their maid or no? They were totally non-concerned, because otherwise he would ask, who is the father? Now, when such a case reached the office of King Solomon, now, King Solomon, he will not sit to judge all the cases. Sure, they will filter to him the difficult cases. Now, we know that the Levites, the priests, some of them, they were appointed as judges. The same structure that Moses had put, the difficult cases, the simple cases, the judges will decide. But difficult cases, they have to refer to him. So that case possibly had passed also through judges, their studies. How about the concern about prostitution and being harlot? Why no one was willing to raise it as a question or to deal with that sin? That is also, it makes us understand that they had already tolerated that sin. The tactics of devil is that he introduced sin, and when sin is tolerated, he comes to inject another sin after that. When you accept, first when he put the sin, wrongdoing, people reject. But after a while, the people will start to accept. When they start to accept, it will be a proof of something acceptable. That those harlots, when they come for the case, no one will tell them why doing prostitution is already accepted. Now our case is, who is the mother? You don't need to think about other issue. And when it came to King Solomon possibly he does not want to get involved in all these things, because now it is, if it is something acceptable and I am going to dig more, what will be my situation in with the, all the setup? And maybe they are not the only two harlots, there are a lot of harlots, and something becoming so prevalent and common inside the kingdom of God. I take the Bibles, I take 36 version about this. It's all of them, they wrote, they mentioned harlot or prostitute. Only one version they mentioned as woman. He did not mention harlot. You know, for them, you know, harlot something, maybe it's like a virtue for a woman, like a beautiful woman or good woman or harlot woman. I mean, you don't need to, for them it was not necessarily to mention and describe the virtue of this woman as harlot, because it is not important. That is not, the text is not speaking about prostitution. The text is speaking, who is the mother? Is churches nowadays running in this way? Their sin had been tolerated? Yes. God is the highest authority in heaven. And there are two kinds of people. People who fear God and people who does not fear God. The people who fear God, they don't need some authorities over them to discipline them, to watch them, to rebuke them, to correct them, because they fear God. Once they are educated about certain issue, they are aware of it, they will stop doing it. And that's why we need to preach. Now, the other category of people, the people who does not fear God. God, for those who does not fear Him, He has put authorities. We can recognize, as I describe always, three main authorities after God in heaven. First, the authority of the governments. And if you speak about this case here, about the case that had been brought to King Solomon, the authority of the government here is represented by the king, as King Solomon, and all his officials that they were around him, the judges also, whoever they are. They are the authorities that should recognize prostitution is something that needs to be dealt with, but they did not recognize it. They just ignore it totally. The government nowadays are non-believers. Almost all the government are non-believers, and we should not expect that the government of the non-believers will dig to implement the word of God in the life of their subjects. Maybe in some issues they would be agreeing with the word of God, but in many issues, they are not concerned even about it. But God will use them to judge sinners and to deal with the criminals and to let things go in a such a way that God's will go in a certain direction. Now, the second authority is, after the government, we can put the authority of the family, and that's where the parents. That every family is authority, having authority from God, and the family as father and mother, they'll be the one responsible to put the order and discipline inside their house, because they are the one who raise up the boys and the girls to be the leaders for the leaders or the parents and those who will be for the next generation. Now, if the families, if we will speak about who are the families in the story that we have read in the Bible, they are the believers' family. All of them, all Israel, they are aware that they are believers, they are aware there is God, there is the word of God, there is a covenant with God, there is a temple, there is discipline. There are things they need to observe in their families. But if we will Still today, most of the family, they are non-believers. Now, who left now? Who is left to implement or to declare the word of God? Here we are today, more than the church itself. Now, the church in this story is represented, we can say that it's represented by the priests and the Levites who were composed of a body of thousands, and they are responsible to educate and preach and teach and implement discipline and follow up and deal with the issues like as we had discussed here. Now when the church is the final defense mechanism in the hand of God to deal with such issue, keep silent as we have here noticed, what will be the outcome of the church in the next generation? Let's go back now to the question that I had asked you. If you had been lived, you and your family, at the time of King Solomon, and you hear that story, you hear that in his office there is two prostitutes, they live in one house, and their problem was who is the mother, and you are parents, what you are going to do? And you hear that the king judge and find out who is the mother, and he let the boy to go with the mother, but the issue of prostitution was not dealt with. If I'll be there at that time, I will be more protective to my household and to the children under my care, because the king and the church is totally unconcerned about the moral status of the country. Totally are non-concerned. The church and the government, the families now, should have to take care of their own children. If they fear God. Now the other question. The mother was given to his, the baby was given to his mother. No one had asked what will be the outcome of this child. This child, he will grow and become bigger or no? What he will do when he become old? What he will do this child when the sin of the prostitution was not dealt properly? He will do also the same. That's why the writer of the first Kings chapter 3 verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, they did not fear God, because there is no fear of God at that time. I believe with what he described here, when that case have reached the highest authority, know about it, and I believe God has put this scripture as awareness even for us today. Because we know very well what has happened later on in the life of Solomon, and later on after the death of Solomon, what destruction had come upon the kingdom of God. Those who fear God, they don't need authorities over them, they will obey. But those who does not fear God, God had placed authority to deal with them. We should not be faltering or afraid when people are getting wired, because we are the authority of God to deal with sin. And I will tell you, those who does not fear God, they will do all what they can to hide their sin, to cover it up. And they will continue to do that. You know which time they will stop? Either they will end up by death, or the sin is tolerated. When the sin is tolerated and acceptable, they will be proud of that they are doing it, like the situation here of these two prostitutes. But my point here, what will be taking place in the next generation? Let's go to the scripture and let us read Leviticus chapter 19 verse 29. King Solomon is the one who built the temple of God. And we know the body of the priests and the Levites was there when the temple was dedicated. Do they know the word of God or no? They know. Do King Solomon know the word of God or no? I asked, did he know about the sin of the prostitution or no? He not only know, but he wrote about it also. He wrote in the Proverbs about the woman who is adulterous, so he know about it. Now the question here, why he did not do anything about judging that sin? Why? Because it was tolerated and he does not want to get in a bad shape or figure before the people, or because he was doing it? These all questions that we need to put when we read such scriptures. And that should motivate us to fear God. We may not have the wisdom of Solomon, but God is not interested in us to have wisdom. God is interested in us to fear Him. Today, I may not have the wisdom of Solomon, but I would rather be fearing God more than what Solomon was in status about it. In Leviticus chapter 19, there are reasons why we need to fear God. There is reason why we need to deal with sin. There is a reason why we need to dig. Solomon was just conservative about it. He wanted to find who is the mother. Getting on the father, he have to dig everything and he have to deal with all the sin all over there. All over his kingdom, and that will be a very big issue, and let us enjoy, you know. We are not to enjoy like others they are enjoying. We are not to disturb ourselves and disturb other people. But if you would do that, if you would do that, Jesus would be there. He would say, I don't know you, you evil doer. Leviticus chapter 19. Why sin need to be dealt with? If we will read, we understand. Leviticus 19:29, he said, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall toward them and the land become full of wickedness. Now here, that is the instruction for the parents, right? Do not prostitute thy daughter. Do not allow your daughter to go with a man. Yeah? And out of that, you will get something out of her. Now when I hear now that a man, that a husband or wife, father or mother, they come to know that their son or daughter have a relationship and they are quiet about it, what they are doing? They are prostituting their son. They are prostituting their daughter. He is prostituting his daughter. She is prostituting her son. Is that correct according to the scripture or no? English grammar correct? Correct. Do they fear God? No. He say here, what he say, he calls her to be a whore. And we know that any relation before marriage is a prostitution, is adultery. And we should not forget what Jesus said. Any man who looks lustfully in his eyes toward a woman, he commits adultery in his heart. Now, what do you say here? He says, let the land fall to whoredom. That everyone will do the same prostitution. And let us read the last part of the statement. He says, and the land become full of wickedness. Not whoredom. Wickedness. What he say here? If you allow prostitution, if you don't control your children, your daughter or son, and they have experienced the things that they should not experience before marriage, that you are causing prostitution to spread, and when that takes place, wickedness also will be spread. Do you like that there will be murder in the land? Do you like that there will be thieves and stealing in the land? Do you like cheating and abuse and injustice in the land? This will all come after you allow that sin to take place. Now can we understand why there was a deterioration at the end, when later on when we study the life of King Solomon, why there was deterioration? Because in the beginning there were sin, and that sin the church, the king, the society, the families, the unit did not deal with. As I say, one sin introduced, tolerated, stabilized, girlfriend, boyfriend, kisses, getting together, relationship, acceptable. And the church nowadays, we are praying. We just pray and we cannot speak. We cannot tell. We should not dig. We should only preach. We should not interfere with these things. It is almost accommodated. Devil introduced the second sin into the church. Let's read also Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. That's why we should not be afraid. We should secure our own houses, and we should not be afraid to judge such kind of sin. Because if we will not do it, the land will be full of wickedness. We are accountable. So we have many reasons. We should fear God. First reason. Second reason. We need also to do it so that wickedness will not be rampant in the land. Usury, bribe, injustice, stealing, abuse, extortion, taking advantage will all spread when that sin is not controlled. You know, woman is a property, belongs to someone. Initially it belongs to God, and God allocated to somebody. That cannot be touched with the wrong person, even to the right person, and not in the proper time. We pay dearly when we steal, when we do things God not ordained. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughter of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. There is two sins he defined. No prostitution for the girls. And the second part of the verse speak about another sin, the sin of homosexuality. Now the church today are being driven mad against the sin of homosexuality and transgender. That is the second sin the devil had introduced into God's churches when God's churches has tolerated the first sin of keeping prostitution inside the church of God. God wants us to do His will toward the tragedy of the church today. The widespread wickedness of homosexuality that rampant now in many nations, it cannot be controlled unless other sin that we have tolerated, we need to renounce, we need to tell the devil, you come back, I refuse these things now, I clean it out from my life, life of my family, life of the church. That is the way, then I can tell him, get your homosexuality and go away. God's willing, by the next Friday, we'll continue this series. Do God's will towards the tragedy of today's church. That's all I think. Lord, we thank you for your word that you give us. Thank you for opening our eyes to understand scriptures, to know your will from the scriptures, to understand the movement of the enemy and the strategy that he's using. Lord, I commit myself to live in the fears of yours in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, O God, that you raise up people who fear you. Lead us to those people, that we will walk together with them to do the right things. O Lord, we reject, we refuse all the compromises that the church is now is doing about this immoral sins, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. O God, we reject them, O God, we renounce them, the phenomenon of dating, courting, boyfriend, girlfriend, and the other things that they are doing, that are promoting girls to be exposed to boys. O Lord, we ask you, Lord, to empower us, O Lord, to teach and rebuke and correct with all power and authority to those who are doing it in the name of Jesus. O God, we pray. We pray for a real revival, Lord, in our midst, O God, in the churches around us, in the society of the people of God around us, in the churches of God, in the name of Jesus. Lead us, O God. Lead us, O Lord, how to do this work of yours, O God. Lord, I commit myself not to please man, not even to please myself, but to fear you and walk humbly before you. O God, I pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, and we commit ourselves to do what is just, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before you. O God, I pray, O Lord, that take this message, O Lord, and make it reach those who are in need to hear it, and those who are waiting for your word. Thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. Lord, washes me whiter than the snow, than the snow.
Jesus, God precious sacrifice.
Lord, forgive us. We abuse your grace, your blood. We commit ourselves, Lord, to do, Lord, your work and your will, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, O God, to do whatever you want us to do, Lord. Lead us in the way, O God, to go on. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.